The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign. God bless Africa.
I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land.
There is a place for all South Africans, black and white. It is a partnership.
This is now the time where we should honor the memory of Nelson Mandela to build a new, better South Africa for all our people. Now is the time.
King Edward, known as KISS, was founded in 1912 as one of Johannesburg's first high schools for English-speaking boys. Originally called Johannesburg High School for Boys, it changed to King Edward in 1911 when it moved to Houghton, in the heart of Johannesburg. In 1994, as South Africa transitioned to democracy and dismantled apartheid, Lungi Dlamo began his high school journey at King Edward in a new, democratic South Africa. He reflects on this episode about the good and the bad experiences as being part of a cohort of black learners in a newly multiracial school. Joined by somebody today who went to a school in 1994, which was predominantly for white people. It is the King Edward School. I'm joined today by Ulungi Dlamo. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Thank you for honoring the invite to the podcast.
Thank you for and calling me.
Yeah, thank you that you're finally doing it.
Yeah.
And to start things off, I just want to know, where were you born? Just for me to get an understanding of the time when you were born. I know South Africa was coming from a very dark time, pre-1994. So just to start things off, where were you born and how was it growing up?
I was born at Baragwanath. In Soweto. And then home is Mofolo Central.
Yeah.
It's a corner house on the main road.
Yeah.
So you get to see a lot of things.
I also live in a corner house. Yeah. I come from a corner house. Yeah. I know.
Everybody pisses on your wall.
Yeah.
Everybody
or throws garbage.
Yeah, garbage, into your bottles. Yard. They check their girlfriends there.
Yeah. So
it was one of those.
Yeah.
Born in 79.
Oh.
So when I started seeing things was when it was time for like I'm a target, boycotts, et cetera. So it was quite busy. It was a busy time. You as a child you're trying to sort of make sense of what's happening.
Yeah.
I went to a local school. It was called Rutegang Primary School. It's still there. It was a walk away, actually. I could walk to school. Interestingly, so we had very conscious teachers. And one of our teachers, I actually recently found out, is Dr. Mampile Rampele's brother, Teacher Rampele.
Okay.
So our education of what's happening in South Africa started from there. The explanation of apartheid, which... At some point, you know, for a child, it doesn't make sense.
And what grade were you when they started explaining Oguti, this is what's happening in our country?
Standard 2 is grade 4.
Grade 4, yeah. Yes. Yo, I almost lost. I was like standard 2.
Yeah. So we also had to be old enough to actually take in that type of information. Yeah. So it was around grade four.
Yeah.
So grade four would put me at 1990.
Yeah,
grade four would put me up because I started school in 86.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah, so that's 1990. Then obviously the IFP Ngata thing happened.
93.
And
during that time,
yeah.
had you ever experienced a sense of apartheid? And in terms of, did you see cops on the streets? Did you?
Yeah. I mean, from creche, there was always an army stationed outside our creche. My creche was called Morris Isaacson.
Yes.
Creche.
It's not the Morris Isaacson.
Not the one up the road.
1976. Yeah, no. Not that one.
not the one in Central Western Jamaica.
Yes.
My creche is opposite Mufulo Park.
Yes.
So, but there's always an army station
there.
So you always knew that there was something happening.
Yes.
And obviously you see your older brothers and people in the streets, you know, they'll talk. So you're always aware of apartheid.
Yeah.
The boycotts, the boycotts, especially with electricity.
Mm.
We were one of the first families to have electricity.
Oh, wow.
And we had a TV.
So my dad always tells me the story of how, you know, they used to go to their neighbors, literally watch, sometimes would pop and watch through the window.
Yeah, you're not allowed to come over my
Was there any of that? Was there any of that happening?
No, not at our house.
Yeah.
Specifically because we're strangers.
Yeah.
We arrived, my family arrived there in 1977.
Oh, okay.
Hence, we live in the corner house.
The corner house, last people builds, to move in.
But everyone else is related.
Yeah.
But my mother loved a soapy called Loving. It was on Mnet Open Time.
Yes, Open Time at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so
Open
she
Time for
wouldn't
Mnet.
Miss that show
yeah.
at all. So when it was time to boycott electricity, we literally had to cover up the curtains with the darkest
blanket. Yeah.
And then she'd hover around the television well with a towel, and I'd be just right here
watching
Loving. And then once Loving is finished,
you switch off
the electricity.
So why were they boycotting electricity? I mean, these days we have load shedding. That's a forced boycott. It's a forced
one. It was the idea against boycotting and stayaways was to put economic pressure on that government at that time.
Yeah.
So us boycotting electricity was a form of protest to say,
yes.
if we don't consume your product, therefore you are not going to make money.
Mm,
Interestingly, Orlando Power Station was still working.
Yeah. The one that's
we know, as Soweto,
it's now become like a landmark.
It's horrible because my mom is a nurse, so if we were to take it to work, especially on Saturday mornings, that place had boats.
Mm.
There was fishing.
Wow.
Well, it was for white people.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can see it was Lani. You can see it was a bit Lani.
Extremely Lani. So it's quite sad to see it in the state that it is.
It has deteriorated.
Yeah.
But
there's so many of those landmarks now in Soweto that went that route. But the idea of boycott was just to put pressure. Economic pressure on that government,
And then school starts, I guess, after standard four, you go into high school now. You start getting older.
Yeah.
Where does now KS King Edward now enter the frame?
So there was a program called GCP. It was called a Gifted Child's Program.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they went to all the schools in the election and they picked the number ones of that school.
Mm.
And you'd attend a Saturday school at Funda Center by Barakwanath.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure his first name. It could be Stephen Baloy, but he was the head.
Stephen Baloy, it sounds familiar.
He's an artist as well. But his artwork is, I think it's his most famous sculpture still inside Funda Center.
Yeah.
Even Funda Center as well, I think it's closed down.
Yeah.
So there was this Saturday school that was meant to prepare us. So remember back then, if you move from there was something called TED and DET.
Many abbreviations. Government and abbreviation.
I know. Department.
And I thought it's a recent thing with this government. God, it's been there all along.
It's always been there. So with that, So what would happen is if you were fortunate enough to go to the suburbs or go to a school in the suburbs, they'd usually take you one standard back under the auspices that their curriculum is more advanced than the ones that you came from.
Wow.
So GCP aimed to mitigate that. Like, let's take our number ones, get them through satellite school so that by the time they get the opportunity to go to those schools, there's not this thing of them being taken one standard back or repeating the same standard that you were doing. Yeah.
And why was it done that way? I mean, was it now the end of apartheid, them trying to now find black people to get into white schools? Like, why was it done?
No, I think it was just another barrier. Because now think about it, if your parents come to you and say, listen, I'm moving you to Banato High, but listen, you're going to have to repeat a standard. Chances are you're going to say no.
Yeah,
it's fine. I'll stay here. I'll stay and continue. Why must I repeat? So I think it was just another barrier to entry for us black people, amongst other ones, including school fees, transport, distance, etc., etc. So GCP wanted to make sure that when we get put in front of those aptitude tests, we are able to pass stuff. So, grade four, I moved to Bramley Primary School. Bramley Primary School. And then there were...
And how was that change? I can imagine moving from Soweto, it's in Fulo, you know, where things are calm. And now you move into this area where now you start seeing other people who look different.
Look, but the thing is, GCP put you with, in fact, no, I lie. I've always been part of a Saturday school. There was one...
So you went to school Monday to Saturday?
And on Sunday is church.
Oh, no. When did you get time to rest?
There was never time to rest.
Okay.
So there was another one, Saturday school at the Methodist Church on Grace Street. Yes. So I started there. So that interaction was always there. You'd go on camps and you'd find other races there.
And at the time, sorry to interject, I'm trying to find out how did you feel? Because if I am a person who's so used to being around black people and it's apartheid, it's so weird. I can't imagine that, but it's apartheid. And now I see, I can't. Now you start seeing Indians and whites, and then you're like, what's going on here? Which one is this one? How did that make you feel? Did you feel anything?
Look, I mean, you are nervous because most of the times you'd interact with other races if the school is taking you to the movies, there's an outing of some sort, camp, etc., etc. But it's a culture shock. You expect them to have more money than you.
Yeah, that's true.
So when once they do the same things as you are doing, it's like, how? You're just a normal kid. You're a normal kid like me. All right, cool. Let's go out. Let's go play.
Yeah.
And by the time I moved to Bramley, I was very accustomed to that culture.
Mm.
But in itself, Bramley was, our principal was extremely racist. I had left, I think, just after March.
Mm.
Yeah.
How long were you there for?
3 months.
Three months, 4 months. And is this a decision that came from your parents, or was this like you? So you went to your parents and said, Mama.
I went to my parents, and my parents didn't believe me. So first things first.
Obviously, the parents were...
So
No.
It wasn't that. They were like, my dad's reasoning was, you're so used to being number one at that school. So now that somebody's challenging you here, you want to leave. And I was like, no, Joe, this guy's racist, prop. He gave me a name. He named me Edwin. So
Edwin,
I don't even have an English name, but he named me Edwin. So me, I'd forget
Edwin. The irony in all of that.
I'd forget I'm Edwin, and then all of a sudden he's here, just like, Edwin, I'm talking to you. I was like, am I Edwin?
was it that bad to the point whereby his racism couldn't even be hidden? He didn't want to hide
it. No, it wasn't hidden. It was terrible. I mean, for a 12-year-old, 13-year-old to be literally waking up every morning and hoping that death of this person, like, I wish he was dead.
What's the worst thing he said or done or made you feel?
I think I blocked things out.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And again, it was only 3 months. The worst thing I remember, he sat me next to, in his class, he sat me next to this girl, Usheri Khan, I think. And she was just awful. She was, she went out of her way to make sure that I'm black and I must know it. You know? And this is pre-94.
This is pre-94, yeah. So this is like 92, 91.
This is 92. This is 90. Yes, this is 92. Yeah, this is 92. And there's just an influx of us now coming into these Model C schools, you know. So I suppose she also felt threatened. But yes, I left around March. So what convinced my parents eventually?
That's what I was going to ask. At what point did your parents?
So there was a parents meeting.
Yeah.
So, and Mr. Lutka came and he shook all the white parents and then skipped my parents. And next to my parents were my friend's parents as well. Skipped them and shook the white people's hands and carried on. So that evening, my dad came back to me and was like, "You are no longer going back there tomorrow." And I was like, "Sure, finally, my prayers have been answered."
Have been answered, yeah.
So that was grade.
Grade seven.
I moved from primary to Orange Grove Primary, but Orange Grove Primary didn't have grade seven, so I had to repeat
grade six.
Yeah. Oh. So hence I ended up at KZ 94.
94, yeah.
Not 93.
So in 93, you were at Orange Grove Primary.
Yeah, 92.
And then you repeated grade 6 and then grade 7.
And then they made standard. Then standard 5 was available.
Yes.
Grade 7 was available.
Yeah.
Then we all moved to grade. Yeah. Because it was an old school that was closed down and then somebody opened it up again. So not all the grades were there. Yeah.
Okay. And at the time, this was it public school?
It's a public school. Yeah.
Everything was public.
Yeah, everything is a public.
And then high school comes.
Yeah.
For you. And then you move to King Edward.
Yes.
How was that? Because when you look at King Edward, it's such an ancient school.
Yeah,
like it's you feel as though like you're in England. And the most ironic part, your AKA's name is Edward.
Yeah,
how was that? How was that?
You're a small fish in a huge pond.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I know I was used to interacting with other races and stuff, but that one took it to another level.
Yeah.
Not only is there white people, there's Indian people, there's Chinese people, there's Japanese, everything. There's Lebanese.
Everything.
There's just squads upon.
Yeah.
Yes, it's an English, it's an English boys school.
Mm.
But you can see, like, okay, those are the Lebanese. Yeah. Those ones are Chinese.
Yeah.
Those ones are Japanese. And then obviously you have the all boys, like we went to Capes, now we're at Cares. I'm the third generation here. My grandfather's name is on the board, my father's name is on the board, my brother's name is there.
Everybody's name is
the
whole family's name.
The whole family's there, you know. So we are proud English boys. So it was one of those, look, as black people, we need to band together, you know.
And how many black people at the time
were there? Was it a lot of you guys? I think in my class there was, and classes were around, were between 28 and 31 children in the class.
Okay.
And there'd be like 7 grades.
Mm.
So from 4A, from 1A, BC to, I was always F.
Yeah, no, just when I got to school, actually they started limiting it down. Then you had the E1, E2, E3. Oh. It was always part of the
E3. Yeah, so I was always F for some reason. I think only after probably grade 10,
there was
G and H.
Yes.
But massive school.
Yeah.
So as black people, we literally had to band together. So so there was no, we are from Soweto, we are from Alex. It was like, gents,
or one thing.
We are all one thing now.
We need to look after ourselves.
We need to look after ourselves. Yeah. Look, we never got into anything. You know, we just played soccer because there was no soccer.
Was there? At the time, I can imagine. So it's 1994. This is happening in our country.
Yeah.
Did you kind of feel the sense of things are changing?
Yeah. Yes.
At this school, did you feel?
Not then. At the beginning. Yeah. So I've got a friend that went straight from Rutegang to Capes. Mm. Right when I went to primary, he went to Capes.
Yeah.
So the STEM was one of the things he told me. I was like, hey, you need to know the STEM. I was like, what the hell is the STEM?
Like, and at the time, we don't know of a national anthem.
We don't have one. Well, yeah. We did. It was, yeah. We sang it because it's Sigelela, you know, but yeah. It wasn't yeah. In the Constitution yeah. Like that. So that's the first thing you need to yeah. learn when you get to kids.
STEM. Like, STEM.
And I was like,
I don't even know the full STEM.
Yeah.
The only part I know is 80 blow.
And it was frustrating because it's yeah. like, but guys, why are we learning this thing when we are going to have changed now?
Yes, yes.
Great of change just now.
Yes. not like in not a few months.
In a few months.
Changing.
Literally in a few months. Mm. So the conversation was also there amongst us.
Yes.
There was a subject called guidance. I think it's now.
Now LO.
LO.
Life yeah. So I don't know what it is now. It's been a while since I was at school. But I think it's still called life orientation. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And we also used to have religious studies. So those were the spaces we were able to have those conversations.
And what conversation did you guys have? Were you even told by the school that, listen, we are heading into a different era for our country? Was that ever told to you guys? Or
not explicitly yeah. like that, but obviously there's papers, there's newspaper things on the road yeah. to school. It's everywhere.
Mm.
702 is talking about it. Everybody was just talking about like upcoming elections, etc. So the school didn't explicitly say, listen, let's have a sit down and talk. It was one of those. I mean, we all did not know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But one of the things that did happen, I mean, Human Rights Day was, back then it was Sharpeville Day.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't come to school.
Oh, wow.
We were like, but it's Sharpeville Day.
Yeah.
It's and they went on us.
Sure. Was it like all of you guys?
All of us. I think the people that did come to, the black people that did come to school
yeah.
were the ones that started at Capes.
Okay.
So listen, yeah, you don't step out of line.
The preparation
school. Yeah. I mean, you don't step out of line.
Grade 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 7. You're like, you know what I mean? Come to school.
So us that joined CARES
yes.
94, we were like, no, guys, this is Sharpeville Day.
We're not going.
We're not coming to school.
We're commemorating it.
So we didn't pitch at school. Following day, they shouted at us. Just before June 16,
yeah.
It was June 16 back then, it wasn't Youth Day.
Yeah.
They stood in the queue like, you better pitch for school on June 16.
And
we were like,
and this is even after the elections have happened.
Yes,
also.
But there were not holidays yet.
Yes, there were no public holidays.
Hence, I'm saying it was still called June 16.
Yeah.
So it was one of those, it's like, we're not going to come to school. Yeah. Man, it's June 16. Like, you know, when you don't get it, it's like,
yeah.
I don't understand. You want me to abandon this day to come to school. So June 16, we didn't pitch either.
Yeah, Did you guys get in trouble?
You got in trouble. You go to detention. You get out.
And what was detention like back then? My detention, I know, we literally sat for 2 hours and did nothing.
Yeah, you didn't.
Was it one?
Yeah,
was it one of those?
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of us, so they couldn't hit us. Corporal punishment was still there, actually.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think so it literally stopped after elections.
Did they in Sharpeville Day? Did they do anything?
No, there's too many of us that didn't.
How many were you that didn't? Did you guys influence other grades as well?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's us. Like I said, if there's probably four black people per class.
Mm-hmm.
Some there were less, depending on the subjects. I know we were four in our class. Mm-hmm. So let's just say four times
more
seven.
More than 20. Yeah, more than 20 people.
About more than 50.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just detention. And again, detention was just us hanging out as well. So it wasn't that bad.
Was it like that, you know, chilled?
Ah, it was chilled, man.
Okay, okay.
They even gave us a black person to look after us. So we were just having a conversation.
Then it started becoming a party in there. Yeah. Start talking in detention. Yeah, I get the idea of where it's coming from.
So luckily, obviously, the following year, all those holidays were
now implemented.
Were implemented. And then there was a new anthem.
And what did you you guys do, I would have went nuts on Sharpville there. I told you.
There were other fights to have. Okay. I mean, there was a hair fight. There was... Oh. We were constantly late, so because of the bus. So you'll get those. But why don't you go back to Orlando High? Mm. It's like, but my father paid those cookies. Stupid comments. Yeah, it's like, you know.
So I guess that's what... Now, my next question would be, that's what came after 1994 now.
Yeah.
Them trying to control you guys. Funny comments, like, as you said, why don't you go back to Orlando? Mm. As you say, why is your hair like this? Why don't you tuck in your T-shirt?
Yeah.
Why, you know, you people? Mm. Just now tell me a bit about the aftermath of apartheid, because that's something that I think we don't speak of as children who went into these Model C schools. Yeah. Like, I only realized in my later life, Uguti, damn, that teacher was racist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You start realizing.
You know, when you sit there, it's like, damn, man. This guy.
This lady always picked on me, shouted at me.
Yeah.
She was racist. Can you talk a bit about that? Because that's something we don't speak about.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the one thing that we don't speak about was our expectations as black people.
Mm.
I remember we were sitting with my brother in our bedroom and we were talking about the changes that these elections are going to bring.
Yeah.
And he hypothesized either Soweto was going to be a CBD, like town, or we will be so right as black people who are going to leave Soweto and go to the Burbs, and Soweto is going to be a place for foreign nationals.
Mm.
That's what we were hypothesizing.
Yeah. He was almost correct.
So there was a lot of expectation from us black people about the trajectory.
Yeah.
And then you juxtapose that with the disappointment of your classmates. There was one guy, he wanted to play for the cricket team.
Yeah,
that's all he dreamt of. That's all he wanted. He didn't care about anything else. Mm. He wasn't the brightest of the bright either. But first team
cricket.
Cricket is what he wanted. Then they brought in the quotas. He was livid.
And that's something that also me as a person.
And it's playing out in front of you.
Yeah,
I mean, there's only four of you and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So they will voice their opinions right in front of you. Who are you?
Who are you? What do you know?
This country's going to the dogs.
You're in just because of a quota.
Yeah.
You're in because you're
black.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the fact that
talent.
You're paying school fees.
I know that feeling. Trust me, I know that feeling.
So even themselves, there was a lot of disappointment that they were going through. So all of a sudden, your hopes and dreams of being the most exclusive person in the country is gone.
It's gone.
You are no longer special. You are like the rest of us, you know. So and it's, I mean, it's kids.
Yeah.
Lots of rich kids. So the rich kids don't care.
Yeah. They don't.
We are fine.
They don't.
We are fine.
They sorted. They have a job. Now, wherever they are, mommy and daddy will take care of us.
It's the ones that were not rich, which
it's
was quite
plans.
A lot.
Yeah, it's the black job.
Especially the ones that are from the area, from Yeovil. Especially the ones from Yeovil that now realize, look, if I'm just going to scrape through high school, chances are I'm not going to get a job. A black person will get a job. So there was that friction as well. I remember one guy, Simon, joined us, and he joined us late. He joined us probably grade 10 or 11. But he came purely for cricket. He came to play cricket for kids because there were no black cricket.
And that's where, like, it's so crazy how schools scrambled
to get players to
play the rugby.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of those. They forced us now to play rugby because now they had to serve. There's supposed to be a certain quota that says we have these black people in the team.
Look, I mean, school rules are school rules.
Yeah.
We followed those to a T. So one of the school rules is you participate in sports. per term. Mm. And I'm grateful for that today. Mm. Today I can play basketball, I can play rugby, I can play soccer, I can play tennis, anything. I can row.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Because you sort of, you devil you know this term, you're like, let me try rowing.
If you can row,
let me try rowing. You know what I mean?
I've never done rowing in my life. I don't even know what it looks like.
Sport at
Oh, wow.
You drive all the way to Rotterdam, man.
Yeah.
And you do rowing.
And were you good in any? Like,
not at all. Always in the ET.
Yeah, but you sound like one of those clever people. Right?
Yeah, no. Like I was more cultural.
Okay. So you did the poetry,
debate, acting.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but I'm grateful for the mere fact that you had to participate in the sport.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Because it teaches you discipline, also.
It teaches you discipline. Mm. Even now, yeah, you can't just, you get bored. It's like, but why am I not active?
Yeah.
You know.
Active, yeah.
And you instill that on your children as well. It's like, you have to do a sport every term. I don't care if you don't like it or not.
Yeah.
It will teach you to find out who you are in any case, you know. So that's how CARES was in terms of sports. So a lot of black people were now specifically coming in so that they fill those quotas. And a lot of white boys were just not happy about that.
Yeah, a lot of them did not make the most of them, even when you get to provincial, it's like the white people can't make it because in provincial there has to be a certain quota.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. There has to be a certain number of black people. Mm. And at what point did you realize, Uguti, nah, man. My grade one teacher was my grade eight teacher was very racist. Is this after school? Because I realized only after high school.
Yeah.
Even I think I realized in my third year in varsity where I was sitting back and thinking, damn, Miss Belinda was not the best. She was actually very racist. Or my sister didn't win, or I didn't win that because they wanted the white person to win it. Yeah. When did you realize?
If there's one thing white boys are very good at it's pushing the envelope so that it doesn't go to the K word.
Mm.
But I will put, what's that? Who's this guy? Ronaldo Jose,
yeah.
The first thing people said, they was like, but what's so racist about that?
Mm.
And that's default white people.
It's and like, they don't see a problem.
They don't see a problem with that.
That's my point. It's that a racist doesn't see they're racist. Yeah.
So until that video surfaced of him using the N word and the K word, then we were justified. We told you about this guy.
Yeah,
you know. So they're very good at pushing that envelope to the edge, and then not tip over. So you've got no leg to stand on.
Mm.
You know, but
they make you feel weak.
Yeah.
For example, they know, like, for example, after rugby practice, he doesn't have transport.
Yeah.
Let's give him a lift. You know, that made you feel.
Even the jokes. Some jokes. Worst joke you've ever had.
The worst joke I've ever had, just so that, you know, you become the one.
Yeah.
That fat K.
That is the worst joke
that's ever come out.
There was so at that time, there was a lot of detergent ads. So mix whites whiter and colors brighter, nothing for blacks. But the one that took the cake was a Mandela joke where Mandela finds a bottle, or he's walking by the beach. Yeah. He finds a bottle, opens the bottle, a genie comes out. And the genie says, listen, I grant wishes, but I don't grant that many, that big wishes. I grant small little wishes. So Mandela's like, okay, seeing that we're in Cape Town, I wish that you could build a freeway from Cape Town to New York.
To New York, yeah.
And then the genie's like, but Joe, I just explained to you that I do small wishes. Then Mandela thinks about it and says, all right, cool then. I'd like to think like a white man for a day.
Oh, no.
And the genie says to Nelson Mandela, like, so how many lanes would you like on that freeway?
Oh, no.
That one.
When you actually listen to it, when I'm like, it doesn't actually sound, but then when you think about it. So I need to think like a white man.
Yeah. So basically it's easier to build a freeway from Cape Town to New York. Man. rather than Mandela thinking like a white man for a day. So they pushed. They really did push.
Yeah.
But what happened was, you learn to find your friends. Mm-hmm. You learn to find who to speak to and who not to speak to.
Yeah.
There was one guy in our class. He told me straight. He was like, "Joe, I am not going to be friends with you. Mm. I don't like you. I don't like black people."
Mm.
And he told me this probably.
The first
time I spoke to him, he told me that. And I was like, "Sharp jaw."
And this is way after 94.
No, this is 94. This is entering. In... So he tells me right then, there's like, "Joe, I don't want to be your friend. I don't like you. I don't like black people." And I was like, "Sharp jaw, I shall never bother you ever again."
Oh.
Then we get a sense.
Did that make you feel a certain way?
Nah, I was
like,
"Oh,
you just didn't care."
Like,
you seemed like a very chill guy.
You
know, have such a small heart.
Because of the Bramley experience,
yeah,
I learned to listen.
They are racist.
There are racists out there. Pick your fights, and that's that. So we get a science project.
Mm-hmm.
And this boy, he makes an HTH bomb. And we were told, don't do an HTH bomb.
Okay.
Because...
For those who don't understand an HTH bomb, because Nina, I don't know, I'm thinking of THC.
Literally the chemical
the
HTH.
The one that bombs.
Yeah, the one that you put in your pool.
Yeah.
There's a concoction you can make and then
it explodes. Yeah.
So we were told, and apparently this is something they like doing, making an HTH bomb. So the school said, no more HTH bombs. This boy goes and he does an HTH bomb.
In class.
No, at home.
Okay.
It explodes in his face. His face burns down.
Mm.
And he's got a very, very strict dad. And he knows he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He goes down. As the sister and the boyfriend are trying to call for help, next thing they hear is a gunshot. That boy took his life. So now we're sitting there.
The same boy. I don't want to be friends with you.
Yes. Now
he took his life.
He took his own life because that HTH bomb went wrong, and he knows he's not supposed to do that. Now the issue comes: we have to do Dead Poets Society as a movie, which has suicide in it. Now we must go for counseling as a class. And I'm sitting there, I'm bored, and the psychologist is like, "Why are you so disinterested?" I was like, "This guy hated me. He told me straight. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that we're kumbaya friends.
Him. Now you have to cry.
Literally,
nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And then you become the bad person.
Which is okay. Which is fine. There's
interesting.
There's quite a lot of things that will make you the bad person.
Yeah,
they choose to make you the bad person
because you don't engage.
I knew where I stood with him in his life, and he, you know, so why must I shed a tear?
Between me and you, how did you really feel?
Hey, look, man, we went.
You know, you might be so rest in peace, but between me and you,
look, I mean, it's a
were
shock.
You like, oh,
look, it's a shock. There's a space now that's empty there. I don't think he was friends with a lot of the
people
guys in our class as well. Because he was proper Afrikaans, Afrikaner.
So he
hung out with the Afrikaner group,
mm-hmm.
whilst most of the boys in our class were English.
Or English, yes.
Yeah. So the psychologist trip was more just to prepare us. Or listen, the Dead Poets Society deals with this subject matter, and you guys have just gone through
similar. Because
so, let's say what? Probably 10, 12 students were directly affected because they were with him from prep. They grew up with him from prep.
Yeah.
So for us that only knew him for less than 6 months.
Yeah, so and he told you that he hates
So it was like, whatever. Can we get it over and done with? I want to see this movie now.
And doesn't that show you how life is? You know, this man literally told you he hated you, but you were like, cool. You know, you didn't hold any grudges, and only to find out he actually had issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because who in their rightful mind, we all do things, right? But to take a gun and kill yourself is a bit deep. It tells you to actually, I'm not to blame because of the color of my skin.
Yeah.
He actually had problems.
Look, from what I gathered from the people that were in prep with him, the father was super strict. Yeah. Was extremely strict. And it was one I couldn't fathom, I couldn't imagine what type of strictness, because I thought my father was strict. But not strict enough for me to take my own life.
Take your own life.
Well,
yeah.
He was strict enough for me to know not to do an HTH bomb.
Yeah,
But it just baffled me. I was like, but I don't understand.
Take your life.
You take it because your father is strict. You know, so I was more caught up on that space. It's like, what type of father does...
Do you think the reason why he was such a racist was also coming from the father's side to say, hey, you're not going to talk to any black person. Yeah. You're not going to love any black person. Yeah. Do you think racism is something that's instilled within individuals from their parents or grandparents? Or do you think it doesn't just randomly happen? You're not a racist, in jail.
No.
No way.
No.
Yeah.
I think so. I think it is. Because I tried being a racist.
And then the question comes, black people racist?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know when you try to do funny things and then you see your grandmother or you see your mom say, hey, listen, I read you better than that. So you sort of just let it go, my man.
Yeah. Why did you want to become a racist? Why were you attempting to?
I wanted to see. I genuinely wanted to
see. This was obviously like, against white people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I genuinely wanted to see. How do you put so much effort into hating another group of people that you barely come across? Because let's be honest, it's not like white people in South Africa go to Soweto. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And back then, you were isolated. So your interaction with us is probably your employees or the gardener or the maid.
Mm.
So I just could not understand. Why are you putting so much effort into hating? So I was like, let me try it.
And it's not you.
I don't even think I'd went an hour. I was like, you know what? I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was at school. It's there.
It was
there all the time. When you were speaking about teachers, there was there was an English teacher that came later. I think we are probably after grade 10.
Yeah. And then this was obviously early 2000s. There's a new millennium and
well, this is 90.
It's still 1997.
Yeah,
okay. It's close to 2000.
Yeah, because I matriculated 98.
You matriculated.
So okay. Here he comes. He's from Zimbabwe, this English teacher.
Yeah.
And I promise you now, he refused to call it Zimbabwe. He called it Rhodesia. And right then I was like,
that is a problem.
But he came very charming. Yeah, man. 6 months into
started
the year,
changing.
He starts unraveling.
Yeah.
You know, he starts saying things. There was one comment, he was like, if white people took everything that they brought into this country, you'll have nothing, including this beloved soccer of yours. And this is after we've won the
Africa tournament.
Cup of Nations. And he was like, even this soccer of yours. And I was like, I was like, damn, dude, you're racist. You are racist. And I was like, okay, Sharp, now I know where I stand with you.
Now we know what's going to happen.
Now I will listen, and now I will answer you the way I want to answer.
Unashamedly, he just says that.
I'm from Rhodesia. I was like, there's no such country, my man. No. It's called Zimbabwe.
Mugabe made sure in the 80s
so I was like,
it was already.
There's no country called Rhodesia. Why do you keep insisting that you are from Rhodesia? So it was, he was the most blatant.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, you must know your lane.
You must.
It cares, you know what I mean? So
I think in any, what can I say, Model C school, you must always know your lane. I stand here.
So remember I told you about guidance. And
yes, guidance.
Religious studies.
Religious studies
got dropped, right? So, but now we're stuck. So it got dropped somewhere in the middle of 96, if I'm not mistaken. So now the only thing we did do was distill prayer.
Yeah.
But you need to have a disclaimer. If you are not Christian, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we're heading into that situation where people
can't
force religion. Yeah, we can't force Christianity or on certain people because of, you know. Yeah.
So now we just go into class to hang out and talk and, you know, play Trivial Pursuit. So the other class, the E class, because of the configuration of the subjects,
yeah,
they took Zulu and history. So then most of them were there.
Case had Zulu at that time?
Yeah, we dropped. Hey, we fought the Afrikaans thing. So I didn't do Afrikaans.
Good for you, man. Like, I wish I didn't do Afrikaans.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. So now we are...
And this is the 90s. This is the 90s. This so is Case 90s. Was ahead of its time. Yeah.
So great 10. I didn't do Afrikaans. I did Zulu.
Mm.
So now... Everybody's sitting in this class doing nothing, so obviously we're going to make noise.
Yeah.
But now the E class is full of black people.
Then the teacher comes.
And the teacher comes and he calls them baboons.
Oh, no.
And I know. That one, was, we were like, no.
Did you guys revolt? I mean,
no, we just we tried addressing the matter. It wasn't resolved.
Mm.
And then we eventually, we all get up as black people. We went to every class. We pulled out every black person.
Mm.
We went to the foyer.
You literally went and yeah, like, come, let's go. Come. They're calling us baboons. Yes. Come.
We went to the foyer. We stood by the foyer.
Wow.
And we just said, until this matter is addressed,
we're not going to
we're
class.
Not going back to class.
Sure.
So what happened was in the same class, in the E class, one of the students there, Usizwe, his dad was editor of City Press or Citizen, OSBI. So he ran the store. So by the time we came in the morning, when we got to school, they were like, yeah.
Headline.
Yes, this kid's school that says they are respectful, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
They call the black students
baboons.
So the matter had to be handled.
Did you guys kind of get in trouble for that? Or was it too late for the school to...
It was too late for the school. Sure. Look, I mean... our lockers...
Yeah.
In the same place,
yeah,
and not so far from the office.
The office, yeah.
So you can imagine a bunch of black boys together making a noise which carries up.
Up, yeah.
So they'll come angry and want to shout at you, but...
Eish. In the back of the mind, they're like, eish, that one's father might just write about us in the newspaper. Eish.
Yeah, you know. Oh, wow. It was one of those, I want to shout at you, but I just can't shout at you.
Because you're going to get in trouble.
You boys are making a noise. Sorry, man, we're about to go.
Yeah, we're about
you
to
know?
Go, yeah.
Like, come on. It's not like we're going to be hanging around here till 4 p.m.
Yeah.
So it was one of those... So even that matter, they'd have to... talk about it in assembly and say, listen, can the boys please be keep quiet at their lockers?
Yeah.
They wouldn't say
indirectly, they're like saying,
yeah,
black boys, please
especially
keep quiet.
The ones close to the office,
yeah, you know? Especially those people who hang, you know, yeah, those people who hang around that area,
so,
yeah.
So,
wow.
So it was finding each other, you know, we are learning each other.
I like how you guys were united.
We had to be.
Take a stand.
We had to be.
Sure.
We had to be. Like I said, it was one of the few instances where Soweto boys and Alex boys are like,
came together.
Let's come together. Yeah. Otherwise, it would be over for us in the school. So we had to be.
And then I come to ask you about, outside of KISS, when you go home, not really Soweto, I had this thing of, so I went to a water school. I went to literally Afrikaner school.
Okay.
At the time. Yeah, a water school. Yeah.
Okay.
You know that nothing Afrikaans, so you look at me there.
Yeah.
I went to an Afrikaans school, and every time I come back home, everyone would be like, oh, yeah, Otena, and I know, no, this is better. Because did you experience that?
Always. Yeah.
But with me, it bothered me, bro, because I'm like, I'm black. I struggle. I have to speak Afrikaans. I have to say orals in Afrikaans. I struggle. And then you guys come here
and
judge me.
And you still have to take a taxi and a bus to get to school.
You know what I mean?
Whereas other people are being fetched
by their cars, I still have to now find a
track all the way.
Kibeli bus, kibeli taxi.
Still do homework.
And then you guys have the guts to come and judge me and say, Nizenza ngono.
Yes.
How did you deal with that?
Look, firstly, I grew up in a big house.
Yeah.
There was a phenomenon called Usale big housing.
Oh, that's really another struggle.
You know, both parents, mom and dad, working two cars, etc. So
work damn hard.
Yeah, very hard. I mean,
very hard.
My mom, when she was off at Barra, she's at Morningside Clinic, doing her night duties, you know. So they've been working very, very hard. So I grew up being called Mfana Sepikauzi, you know. Mm. So when the term cheese boy came,
yeah,
was, I was like, yeah, whatever.
You are the first cheese boys. One of the first cheese boys, yeah.
But yeah, the only time I'd go to the shops and interact with anybody is if I'm Gorakama Kipkip or...
But didn't it make you feel like, I'm not black, like, what's going on?
No, there was quite a few of us. There was quite a few of us. I mean, my brother had already also went to a Model C school. There was a few of on the other streets as well. So it was a point of envy more than jealousy.
Jealousy, yeah.
But again, I limited my time strategy. I was never that person. If I'm going to the shops, I'm going to the shops.
Yeah.
And I come back. I mean, there's lots of TV to be watched.
Yeah, because you guys have had TV, you know.
I had Mnet, so yeah. I had Mnet. I got Mnet at a very young
age. Yeah, probably one of the few to get DStv first.
We got Mnet 1988,
wow.
Purely because of Lavi.
Yes.
Yeah. So KTV was
paying
for me.
You are one of the set in the house.
Yeah,
watch KTV
like, leave me
all
alone.
Day. Okay.
I'm here for the Smurfs.
Yeah. I'm not here for anything else.
I'm not
else,
here to be
not for the streets.
Here, playing soccer in the streets, banging my knees. Mm. So I limited my interaction with people on the streets. Only after matric, it was when I started blooming outside. Yeah, and with the rest
and then we go into that. After matric comes, it's new millennials coming.
Yeah.
You know,
hey,
you have experienced all of this in your high school. I mean, for me, it sounds like your high school was hectic. At KES, it sounds like you did a lot of things to break barriers for a lot of black kids who are there, right? Like you guys, it sounds as though you are like the first cohort to literally bend the rules a bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we tried, although we were always reminded about the rules.
Yeah.
This is why I hate the double standards.
Yeah.
In fact, even yesterday, there was a whole thread about Starlink and Elon Musk.
Oh.
And it's the first thing that they'll always say to you is like, but it's in the rules.
Yeah,
it's
all
in
the time.
Rules.
All the time.
Well, BE is in the rules.
Yeah.
So when it doesn't suit you, now it's a problem. Yeah, I'm not bringing Starlink to your country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they always reminded us of it's in the rules. It's in the rules. So we're like, sharp, we'll follow the rules. But what's not in the rules? We will push.
We will not push.
We will push that.
That
we will make sure that we break whatever we are breaking. As soon as you get to grade 11, it's like, and grade 11 was tough.
Yeah, grade 11 is tough.
It's the toughest.
I failed my first grade 11. I did grade 11 twice. So
I need to concentrate. I don't have time for this nonsense.
Because
grade 11 was
tough.
Horrible.
It's the hardest grade there
is. It was horrible. Yeah. So by this, then you get to matric. When you get to matric, it's like, I'm almost done here. So why am I?
Then you stop caring
why
about.
Why must I care about?
Yeah.
What
Mrs.
Saying.
Mang Mang has to say.
Yeah, what
she
Mrs.
Says.
Mang Mang has to say. So my dad always paid by check, right? Yeah. So that our final year, they took up the school fees.
Yeah,
I think they took it up by about $2,000 or something like that. From 7,000 something, it was 9,000 something.
For a whole year.
My dad was livid.
Yeah,
he was like, I might as well pay cash so that it's 8.3 from them. So, first day of school, me.
You paid.
I came with a check and I was like, here you go.
There you go.
If I hear any of you tell me about Orlando High, I don't want to hear about Orlando High here. Here's my money.
I paid in full.
I paid in full. Yeah.
And it shocks a lot of them.
Guys, please.
Don't bother me.
Don't bother
this is
me.
My final
my final year.
Year.
I want to leave
anything about Orlando.
Yeah. I want to go to Teshara. I hate those nice things in Teshara. So here's a check. We're cool. Great. Lovely.
And just my final question, man. 30 years of democracy. I'm confident enough to say you played a huge role in opening doors, as I said previously, for many black kids who now go to KES. Because when I pass KES now, literally it's just a black school.
On the side you pass.
What would you say?
The other side is not.
Do you think that this democracy has worked? it clearly has worked for you. It has worked for both of us. But what would you say 30 years later, how far have we come in South Africa in terms of our democracy? Just lastly.
Democracy works if it lives in a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, ours doesn't, you know. I remember seeing, I forget her name, from Pretoria Girls, the girl with the
yes,
hair.
Yes, yes, yes. Zuleika. Yes.
I was livid. Mm-hmm. And I was livid. I was like, but how are children still having this conversation so long after this? You know what I mean? And because I was having that conversation about my hair.
Mm.
So, at that time, I felt that the people that failed this girl were us, the parents.
Mm.
We were not, that girl was no, no girl was supposed to go through that after 1994. We were supposed to have got rid of all of those things. So I think where we are now, I think we're stuck in 1994, 1996. And it's time for that guard to change now. And that's not even politically, you know, but definitely something needs to change.
No, thank you so much, Lungi Tolama, for your time. And wow, what a beautiful story you just shared with me there. Thank you so much, man.
Cool, man.
Thank you for listening to episode 11 of the 30 Years of Democracy podcast. Remember to head on over to Ayono, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts to listen to our other offerings at Arena, such as the Sunday Times Politics Weekly, Sowetans Gogo Have I Been Scammed, podcast from the Edge with Peter Bruce, and Taking the Rams by the Horns.